Hello and welcome to the Lincoln County Gardener, a weekly segment broadcast on KYAQ Newport, where the Lincoln County Master Gardeners bring you weekly conversations on a variety of gardening topics. Master Gardeners are local community members trained in scientifically based gardening techniques by Oregon State University Extension Service, so we'll be sharing research-based and locally relevant information.
My name is Larry. I'm a master gardener. And with me today is Ross McCann to talk a little bit about houseplants. I'm glad to see you on the other side of the microphone for a change. Usually Ross is the one doing the interviewing, but he has a house full of houseplants. And today we're going to talk about what happens when things go wrong.
Thanks for having me on.
Of course. So could you tell us a little bit about your experience with houseplants and the various pests?
Oh, yes. As you mentioned, I have a lot of houseplants. I have had a lot of houseplants for many years now at this point. I have a couple hundred, and I run the houseplant section of the Lincoln County Master Gardeners annual plant sale, so
that's
you can
right.
come find me and talk about houseplants with me in May. And naturally, as somebody who's bought and traded and propagated many, many plants, I've had just about every pest you can have at one time or another. It's bound to happen.
So what would you say constitutes a pest?
Yeah, in general, I would say that a pest is any creature that's harming your plant, not just any creature at all. So I wouldn't really count a spider as a pest, even if you don't necessarily like them on your houseplants. Personally, I like to set spiders on my houseplants so that they'll take care of any actual pests. Fungus gnats are kind of in a liminal space between, where a lot of people are concerned about eliminating fungus gnats, those little tiny black flies that can sort of they'll bug you while you're trying to eat or read a book or something.
Gotcha.
But they aren't that harmful to your plants unless they have a high population and you have young plants, especially seedling. If you do have a problem with fungus gnats, either they're impacting your plants or you just don't like them, you can try a couple different things. You can either let the soil dry all the way out, especially the first top few inches of the soil.
I think that's what I did, and
yes,
it was pretty effective.
Exactly. Although some plants can't tolerate being dried out in that way, especially like a young seedling or a houseplant that likes it really moist, like a Tradescantia, sometimes that is worse for the plant than just having the fungus gnats. In which case, one thing you can do is you could try sticky traps. Lots of people have sticky traps to try and catch the adults before they lay eggs in the soil.
Well, so far we've talked about bugs that we probably don't need to worry about because they're probably not that harmful for plants. I have to ask, though, I'm sure there's a variety that really are harmful to our plants.
And we can get into those, too. A lot of them will be familiar to outdoor gardeners as well as indoor gardeners. So you can sort of take a lot of those principles. But as master gardeners, we tend to use IPM, where you have to set a tolerance limit. The goal isn't always necessarily to eradicate every insect or organism in your garden, especially when we're talking about outdoor gardening. But for indoor gardening, I personally set my tolerance at none. I want no pests, not one.
Gotcha.
Just because in the house, it's such an ideal environment for pests to flourish. So then when there is any, they will explode. And there's no balancing with other predators or things like that. Like in the garden, you might be able to have birds or ladybugs or another entity that keeps the pests in check. You really can't do that in a house. So, in general, houseplant gardeners set their tolerance way lower.
So, tell me a little bit more about the IPM. What does it stand for?
Integrated Pest Management. Yes. And we have another episode that we did with Janice Smith on it, where she goes into more detail about that. In general, we try to say, let's set a tolerance limit and only act when we've breached a threshold, and also picking less toxic, ideally non-toxic solutions first, especially cultural and mechanical methods to prevent pests or remove them without needing to do any drastic interventions.
Well, that certainly makes sense. You don't want toxic chemicals in your house,
especially in your house. Yes, you have to be way more careful about what things you use to treat plants for both your own health and any pets or kids that you have around.
All right, let's get into some of the nasties. What are some of the common pests that do harm your plants, and some of the ways that we can bail ourselves out?
One of my least favorite is scale, which also happens outside, and it can be kind of difficult to notice because they blend right in. They look almost like tiny limpets, little tiny bumps on the plant, usually all along the stems or underside of the leaves, little brown flat lumps. They have a waxy coating on the outside that can make them kind of hard to kill, that develops as they age, so the older, more mature scales can be difficult to kill through chemical methods and things like that. So you have to start by scraping off and removing any that you can see. You can dip a toothbrush or a Q-tip in isopropyl alcohol and sort of rub it against the plant to try and agitate and get those off. But in general, while many people can see the adult scale, they have little tiny babies that are teeny teeny, and you just can't see them. There's no way that you can eliminate all of them by just looking for the pests alone. So in general, the best way to deal with scale is to manually remove the adults and then spray down the plant with insecticidal soap to try and get any of the little babies, because they haven't developed that waxy coating that makes them more resilient to insecticidal soap yet.
Gotcha.
The next one is mealybugs.
Oh, I hate those.
Yes, they gross a lot of people out too, even irrespective of the problems that they cause. But they also have that waxy coating like scale that can make them really difficult to remove. They're kind of notorious within plant circles as the worst, but I think that's kind of subjective. They're little fuzzy, light-colored bugs that also leave sort of a black sootiness to them, so you can notice both their sooty excrement as well as the bugs themselves. If you see a little white fuzz, it could be lint, or it could be a mealybug.
One of them took over one of our cactus, indoor cactuses. And the combination of the spines and the mealybugs, I think we ended up having to just let go of the plant.
Yeah, with all houseplants that become infected, you have to just make that decision whether it's worth fighting it and having that pest potentially spread to other plants, or if it's worth just chucking it and buying another. And that's complicated. You have to decide whether it's a descendant from your grandma's plant that's important and you'd do anything to save, or if it's just a random store-bought thank you plant, then it might not be worth as much to you.
Gotcha.
But in general, you start by pruning off the most affected areas, which you can't do for a cactus, and scraping off any others that are visible, especially looking in little nooks and crannies. They're kind of wily. And then using insecticidal soap again. With treating all houseplant pests, you have to be vigilant and keep coming back again and again, because there might be little hangers-on. Spider mites are another common one. They're teeny little arachnids. They are basically like flecks of sand, the tiniest little spiders. So in general, you don't notice the bugs. You notice their webbing, especially on the underside of leaves or sort of connecting the stem to a leaf. I usually notice them when the plant itself starts to look bad. They lead to discolored leaves that often have little stippling on them, where you can tell the suckers from the spider mites have started drinking from it. So you see, like, the leaf looks off and wrong, and the plant usually gets kind of stunted in its growth. It just isn't vigorous. They spread really easily. They can just sort of drift through the breeze of your home, and they've taken over. Yes, they're very mobile. But thankfully, they're pretty easy to get rid of for the most part. If the infestation is small, you can just take it outside and hose them off. And if you do that repeatedly, you can knock all the spider mites off. You can also start by using an insecticidal soap, letting it sit a little, and then hose it off later.
Gotcha.
That has worked pretty well for me. And then if all else fails, you can use a miticide to just kill them all. I've not done that personally, because in general, for me, just hosing them off and using insecticidal soap, or even dish soap mixed with water, works good enough. aphids are another one that causes those little stipplings as they suck out the nutrients from the leaf.
Interesting. I don't think I've had aphids indoors before.
I have them come into my house because I'll wash off a leaf of kale or something like that near my sink, and then a aphid will get sprayed onto a house plant.
Oh,
or sometimes
gotcha.
They'll crawl in. Definitely happens, and they cause yellowing, warped, and distorted leaves. And they're treated inside like outside with insecticidal soap, a good hosing off, making sure to get into every nook and cranny. And then lastly, there's thrips, which I have struggled with a lot.
What's a thrip?
A thrip. T-H-R-I-P.
Yeah.
Oh, they are terrible. They're little, teeny, tiny, really mobile green bugs. And they, in their adult stage, can fly. So they also can spread really easily through your house. I usually notice them crawling around the new growth of a plant.
Uh-huh.
So they really like those delicate, tender top leaves right near a growth bud or a recently unfurled houseplant leaf. And so if you see little colored, little green-colored bugs walking around, that's probably a thrip.
Mm.
They also cause discoloration, and oftentimes that discoloration can be sort of silvery because of the enzymes that they secrete while they're eating. And like most others, it's just insecticidal soap, giving the plant a good shower. In general, it seems like pests are divided into plants that you want to try and manually remove and then use insecticidal soap, and ones that you want to use insecticidal soap and then just spray down.
Gotcha.
The ones that are hunkered down, you have to remove first, versus ones that are lighter and more mobile, you can just try and spray away.
So where do they come from? I swear, you know, it's not like I have the doors and windows open all the time.
Yeah, well, and that's definitely a way that they can get in, even through screens.
Oh.
Like, if they're small enough, like, I've had spider mites come in through my bedroom window, so even in a room that ordinarily has no plants coming in and out of, ones that are right by an open window, you can get a pest just from that, from the outside.
I see.
Yeah, but every time you introduce a new plant into your home, that's a potential for infection.
Oh.
So buying from the store, even from a trusted friend, you really have to scrutinize.
Oh, now when I think about it, getting a houseplant, you know, like at a big box store, you're probably just inviting trouble.
Oh, yes. The big box stores are the worst culprits, just because they don't really have any incentive to look and scrutinize for pests and then deal with it. They make that kind of your problem. So some people will preemptively treat any new houseplant with insecticidal soap just in case, give it a really thorough look over to check and see if there's any already flourishing. And you can also quarantine new plants for
a while. That's a great idea.
In their own room, own window, just watching them for a month or two to see if there's any colony living there.
Well, gosh, you've given us a lot to think about. Thanks so much for joining me today.
Thanks for being in the interviewer seat this time. Now for some seasonal tips. If you're feeling a little cooped up and eager to get involved in the garden, it's a good time to clean out any sheds, storage areas, or greenhouses that aren't being used. Throw away anything broken, dispose of ancient and unusable seeds, and do any maintenance of tools, including sharpening, and clear off and sort items on shelves. It's useful to take everything out to fully assess the condition and utility of items stored, so maybe wait for a less rainy day. Pulling everything out will also make it easier to check and see if your structure has any leaks in the roof or near windows. Deep cleaning will help keep your tools lasting longer and prevent conditions that foster mold or mildew, which can harm the structure. And damp, mildewy environments can foster fungus that can infect seedlings you try and germinate there come spring. That's it for our program this week, but tune in for future broadcasts on KYAQ Newport. You can find out how to contact us with all your gardening questions on our website, www.orcoastmga.org, where we'll also be putting these episodes after they air if you need another listen. We'd also love to hear your subject suggestions for future episodes of the Lincoln County Gardener. This broadcast is created by the Lincoln County Master Gardener Association, who work in collaboration with the Oregon State University Extension Services. Until next time, happy gardening!